702 and Cape Talk.
Family Matters.
19 minutes after 11 o'clock, it's Family Matters time. Today we talk about secrets and how these can feature in our relationships and our lives and what they do to those dynamics in our lives. And we're doing so with Stephanie Dawson-Cosser, who's a relationship coach and specializing in family dynamics as well. And this is a topic that I think everyone will find a touch point in, because I think it is in the nature. I could be wrong. Maybe you want to disagree with me. I can't imagine anyone living a recognizably human life where you are fully transparent. We just aren't. Whether it's a fleeting thought you keep to yourself, whether it is a big secret or small secret that you perhaps keep to yourself, family secrets that we often keep for all sorts of reasons. And these things do interesting things to us. They can either harm us, or sometimes they can be completely harmless. But secrets of various nature and kinds, I think, are an inevitable part of human life because we are social creatures. And I wonder whether there are secrets gnawing away at you, secrets that have caused rupture in your relationships. You don't know how to handle it. Perhaps you are burdened by one that you are keeping. Give us a call and let's see whether Stephanie can help you out. 011-883-0702 in Joburg, in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. How's it, Steph? Are you well?
I'm very well. Thanks, Eusebius.
This is such a beautiful conversation and so many different ways in which we can start it off. Tulin Chlapo, of course, had written Color Me Yellow, and we did a really beautiful interview with her several months ago. You listened to that interview and you promptly went to and buy the book.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful backdrop to today's conversation, because at the heart of her story is secrecy and what that does to family.
Absolutely. And the incredible thing about her story is that from her moment of awareness of self, she became aware of difference, but a difference that nobody was prepared to talk about.
Yeah.
She would ask the questions and people would divert. People would not pay attention, would say, oh, you'll find out later. People were not prepared to talk, but it didn't dissipate the question that was burning within her. So who is my father? We are hardwired from the moment of conception to want to know where we have come from.
And them not wanting to talk about why she looks different to the other kids didn't stop them from treating her differently. So that's the other thing about secrets, is that we may not talk about the secret and reveal the secret, but the potency of a secret is that it can still structure the way in which we interact. She got bullied. She got sidelined. She felt different. So there was also an emotional impact on her. And so there is the sort of one part of it is just the fact of the secret. But the other part of it is also that the secret manifest itself in the details of behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Which then impacts who can we trust and who can we not trust. And fortunately for her, there was always the maternal grandfather who somehow warmed to her, was open to her, would be available to her, would nurture her. And so having that one significant carer who seemed to accept her and love her just as she was in that time allowed her to grow stronger. That one person offering her non-judgmental, full acceptance of who she is enabled her to grow courage, to grow up and make the best, look for opportunities. Because of that one honest, transparent love that she was offered, she was able to keep seeking more of that. She found an awful lot of rejection, of resistance, of people holding back truth, holding back connection. But because she'd experienced it that in that one relationship, she kept going to seek for it again.
How do we even begin to think about the place of secrets in our lives? Because they can be very harmful, right? I mean, if we're purists about at least what we think are the gold standard of relationships that have integrity, whether it be with mom and dad, with your siblings, with your colleagues, with your lover, we think that a value such as trust lies at the heart of a good, healthy relationship between two individuals. But if we unpack trust, it has many facets, but one of the things that trust requires in order for trust to be sustained is that I believe that you are reliable, that when you speak to me, that you speak truthfully, and that there is anything that I ought to know, that you won't keep it hidden from me. And it seems to me that secrets goes in the other direction.
Precisely, that we start holding back information. We are not consistent in our behavior. And so that foundation begins to be experienced like shifting sand. And then we begin to, the expression that I often hear from clients as they come into relationship coaching with me is, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. How much can I say? How much can I do? I must keep quiet so I don't disrupt the so-called harmony. So we live in these two worlds, my own world and the one that it surrounds me. And it raises all the stress hormones in our system. We are anxious. We become very we live in these two worlds of my internal world of what I want to say and do and what I'm experiencing and what we perceive the other person is expecting.
Let's list some practical examples, right? I might keep a secret. Maybe I've just been diagnosed with cancer and I'm not ready to tell. Maybe I've got, I don't know, diabetes. It's slowly chipping away at my health. Maybe I've got a mental illness. So it could be a physical illness. It could be something health related. It could be the financial affairs are not quite in the state in which the other partner imagines and I'm in charge of that. It could be that I had cheated and I'm carrying that secret around and I'm not speaking about it. Could be something about my past that I've always convinced myself is not salient to disclose in a new relationship, and it's there. It could be that I haven't told my child who their true parent is, and between me and the person that they think is actually their biological second parent, we have agreed that we're going to treat them as if it is actually our biological child. And the older the child gets, the more there is between me and second parent this sense of guilt. Do we disclose this fact? So those are the kinds of secrets Stephanie and I are talking about. Do you think, and I'm sure no two cases can be treated the same, Stephanie, but to the extent that you've dealt with this in your own work as a relationship coach, do we fool ourselves when we do what you described 3 minutes ago, where we say, I don't want to upset the harmony? So we convince ourselves that the potential difficulty of disclosing secrets is not worth it because what we currently have, including the world in which the secret is kept under wraps, is actually an harmonious world.
Well, the question, the reality is that we are fooling us, trying to fool ourselves.
Yes.
And somewhere in our DNA, within our physical body, that secret is sitting and it's gnawing away at us. And so part of what brings people into my coaching space is that dis-ease and the exhaustion of keeping that truth under wraps. And how it seeps out in relationship, which becomes toxic, is that we are sharp. We give the tough edge of our personality. We are less patient with ourselves and with others. We will find triggers in the everyday experiences that it makes us feel like, oh my goodness, have they worked it out? Or have they actually found the truth? But I didn't tell them. And so the anxiety, all that stress, internal stress is gnawing away. And how that translates in physical, in our physical bodies is things like high blood pressure. It can be anxiety and anxiety attacks. So, and many other forms of depression. So keeping secrets is unhealthy from the beginning.
And, you know, this, it's quite interesting to me how we sometimes don't see those links until you find yourself in front of your GP. And that's partly because we don't treat the family unit, relationships as units, but also the body as a system, as a complex system. And so you could be forgiven for not pulling the threads from the secret and, for example, ailments, even physical ailments that you have, because the cellular memory is aware of what it is that quite traumatically you are doing a lot to try and keep under wraps.
Absolutely.
And it's so interesting how people won't see that, particularly because we don't treat the physical body as a very complex system where even some of the physical manifestations can have their genesis in something like this secret that you think you're actually handling pretty all right, but the body doesn't forget.
Exactly. And so, for example, I was working with a client over the last few months, and she's been suffering from severe headaches. And she was actually arrived for a coaching session suffering from one of these severe headaches. And so we began to unpack what was going on. And then she came, one of her goals had been to talk about her marriage relationship and to work on, in the coaching space, just herself, whether she wanted to stay in the marriage or not. So we picked up this topic and started talking about, so what has happened in this 5-year long marriage, how they met, et cetera, et cetera. And it quickly transpired that the husband had had an affair in the first year of the marriage. And that her true sense of true response, as opposed to the one that she is living out, is part of her secret. Interestingly, as soon as she had begun to talk about it, she said, "My neck, I can move."
Wow.
This blinding headache that was coming from the base of her skull up over her head was easing. By the end of our session, she said, "I now know I have to tackle this issue, because this is what's causing my headaches."
I'm not surprised one bit. Is this resonating with you? Are you keeping secrets that are gnawing away at you? Have they already been disclosed, but perhaps you didn't handle them properly? What impact is it having on your physical health, your mental health, and crucially, your relationship dynamic? Share these with us. How did you handle them? How are you handling? If you are struggling, you can speak directly to Stephanie Dawson-Kosser by giving us a call on 011-883-0702 right now in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Or if you'd like to leave us a voice note and share with us what you are going through, what secrets have done in your life, in your relationships, how you're handling them, or the concerns you are having, the WhatsApp number for voice notes, 072-702-1702
and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
27 minutes before noon, we're talking about the very tricky but real issue of secrets that we keep, what they can do to ourselves and what they can do to relationships, whether these be relationships at home, whether this be colleagues, best friends. And I think to some extent, one must have some secrets, but you know, how long is a piece of string? And we're puzzling through this with Stephanie Dawson-Kosser. Let's go to the lines. Peter, good morning to you, and thank you so much for calling in today.
Morning. A couple of years ago, my wife and I became friends with another couple about 10 years younger than we are. And during the friendship, the wife let it be known that she's attracted to me and made a move on me, which I did not think of with necessary diligence. Only made out, never had a sexual relationship. My wife did find out, forgave me, and then we cut them out of our lives, which I thought was a good thing that they came back. And she recently also again made another move at me. This time I reciprocated even more after I told my wife we shouldn't bring them back into the relationship, we shouldn't be friends with them, we shouldn't, because she and her husband are on the verge of a divorce, we should don't let us slip over. And the problem is, and this is quite coincidental, but every time I was drunk, it wasn't that I became drunk with her, well, at least the first time was with all four of us. The second time I had a party with other friends. Because I try to avoid that situation, so I've learned that I cannot control myself. I think when I'm drunk around women that find me attractive, which is refreshing to me or something. But in the meantime, my wife had also, on Saturday or Friday morning, had a sexual rendezvous with the guy, and that came out first. And yeah, so now I don't know, neither of us can sleep, neither of us know what we're doing. And it's interesting how the secrets, what level do you tell, what don't you tell? Initially told me a little bit, and then said she didn't want to tell me because it meant nothing. She now understands when I said it meant nothing, because it really was a physical thing. So I told her I understand and we would be okay. But then after she found out again about me, she's now taken the moral high ground and decided, now she didn't do it because she was drunk, now she did it because she was going to get back at me. And I don't know. Secrets, I don't know.
Thanks for sharing that, Peter. It's very brave of you. We don't own up to these things, particularly publicly. Stephanie, what comes up for you?
So, Peter, in such a situation, to have courageous conversations, you've already begun, but now the sense of distrust and dis-ease is happening between you. And often it's trying to get back to what you had before is an impossibility. It's about finding a moment where you in where you are right now and saying, how do we want to go forward? And there may be a time for sharing more of what has happened to, as it were, have a clean slate for both of you. I would really encourage you to seek out a counselor or a relationship coach where you can have a facilitated conversation so that you're not trying to manage yourself and the other person and your response to what they're saying, but rather that it's a facilitated process.
Yes, I really want to do that. She's on the fence. She says, yesterday, before she knew about my falter, she was willing to do anything to salvage the relationship and suggested that we go for counseling. And today, I'm the only one with the problem. So she might still be hurting and just be angry.
Yes.
Exactly. So with the courage that you've expressed to phone in today, I would encourage you to go one step further with your wife and go into coaching or counseling together.
Yeah, thank you. I'm definitely going to do that.
All right.
All the best, Peter. All the best. And thank you so much for calling in today. There's possibilities there. Who knows where their journey might go? I'd love Peter to call in 6 months' time, a year's time, and tell us how it works out. What I wanted to ask him from the peanut gallery, my inner Dr. Eve, is whether other stuff is underlying the sexual dalliances and the cheating, or whether it's simply that there's a desire here to play, to bring other people into the bedroom. And what I mean by who knows where their journey can go is that you might find out in the facilitated conversation, we're okay with each other. Mm. We actually ought to have done something years ago that we now have a chance to do, which is to speak openly about all sorts of fantasies that we have.
Exactly.
Obviously, the more difficult scenario is that maybe the cheating is just a symptom of bigger issues. But in both instances, you won't know that unless you have a slightly longer journey.
Yeah, which will be a courageous journey and a courageous conversation. But with that, if they're prepared to walk that road, there is the opportunity to become really honest and open with each other at every level.
Now, obviously, they've both now cheated, but I wanted to ask you, I've got so many callers who want to call in. Just how important is it for Peter to not play a verbal game of tit for tat and say, well, you can't take Mary, you can't take the moral high ground because you've already cheated. In other words, to not bother to go into that kind of defensive space and give her time to cool down before she's again in a space where she was 5 days ago of wanting to go into a structured, facilitated process. Because she's obviously not.
Yeah, she's pissed
off. She doesn't have the moral high ground, but she's pissed off.
And so both sides, so it's not an either or, it's a both and. And two wrongs don't make a right. And so that's why I really strongly encourage Peter and his wife to go into a facilitated conversation, because that creates a neutral, safe space for the conversation to happen.
Nao, good morning. Welcome to the show. Hello, Nao.
Are you serious?
Yeah, welcome.
I want to ask a question. When I get into new relationships, I believe in bearing it all, right? What and all. It makes me feel better because I give the person that I'm with a choice to say, this is who I am, this is what I come with. However, I find that it does not work. It does not work for relationships. I find that girls who are slightly more discreet end up being in a relation, in proper relationships, because they're not bearing it all, right? So my question is, at what point does one really say, look, this is who I truly am?
So that's a beautiful question, Neo, and thank you for sharing it with us. You know, last night I was watching a TED talk, and it was by a woman who had gone on to online dating when she was 35, fed up with her single life. And she created, she didn't want to do the swipe left, swipe right thing, and she wanted to, she realized that meeting people in real life was the only way to know whether it was worthwhile or not. And so she created something called the zero date. And that commits her to 1 hour of having a drink or a coffee with the person and then saying, is this worthwhile going to a proper date? And I think sometimes when we are a bear it all kind of person, we want to be transparent. We want to be open about who we are, what matters to us, what will really rock our boat, and what will be one step too far, is that we want to do that right at the beginning. And on night one. And my hunch is, and your experience seems to be showing you, that that's a little too soon. So maybe to look at what would a date zero mean to you, and to allow yourself to get to know the person as a friend. And then, is this really a relationship that's going to go somewhere, that I want to go somewhere? And then at that point, start being prepared to give a little bit more, sort of peeling the onion one layer at a time.
Neo, what kind of secrets are we talking about? Because I suspect we need a concrete example, right? I mean, there's a massive difference between keeping the secret that, say, for example, you are living with HIV and keeping the secret that at the age of 9, you stole 2 rand from your grandfather.
Well, all of the above, including what my financial situation is, including the family that I come from, including my past. So, I was a morbidly obese girl, and I've met girls who've transformed their bodies, but they hide it from their new partners. I want the people that I'm with to know that I was morbidly obese, that I reduced my boobs after losing all that weight, that I've got scars all over my body from various operations because of my past. I want that stuff like out there, like, dude, this is what it is. Are you happy to deal with it?
So, So
maybe if you take the zero date kind of approach, that on the first date, try to get to know more of the person you're with before you reveal all of yourself. If you get to a second date and you think, yes, this is somebody I really want to get to know, then that's the point where you start sharing. So the first date, the first getting to know is, you know, what book are you reading? What movie are you going to? What work do I do? But then once the basic trust, is this person really who they say they are? Let's get the first basics of safety and honesty on the table.
Out of interest now, and just because I think one also needs a good dose of humor with this, right? This is life. It's complicated. What have been your approach so far? Has your first question been, so what is your policy on body modification? Because it's hard, right? But there's like gaming going on. There's a lot of play involved in this kind of courting. How have you thought about it thus far? Or how has it actually played out for you?
Well, once I realize that I like a guy and I know that it's going to go to another level.
Yes.
I am comfortable with really taking it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling confident enough in myself to be able to whatever is done in bedroom situation. So at that point, I'd like to talk about the things that make me uneasy, which often are my secrets. Not my secrets. I don't like keeping secrets to the point that we made earlier on with the woman with the neck ache.
Yeah.
I don't like that because it weighs heavily on my body. So
Yes. No, yeah, you are. Okay, we've just lost her there. But you've given us a lot, Neo, and some beautiful questions. And I suspect that there are layers and layers here. There's the fear of being seen to be dishonest. Why weren't you clear about the T's and C's and about the nature of the garment when you were trying to sell it to me, if you know what I mean? The fear of rejection. So let me be as transparent as possible. And if this person doesn't like me, at least I have maximum time to deal with the fact that the date didn't work out.
Yeah.
There'll be all sorts of things going on there. And and that isn't necessarily always, I'm not saying nails on that space, but that doesn't always indicate healthy self-esteem. It can also be an excessive need to try and protect myself.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think the great thing about Neo is that she's saying, I'm prepared to bear it all. But we can only deal with so much truth when we're getting to know somebody.
Exactly.
So it's about pacing that, and it's not about holding back. She's prepared to share, but I think we need to be aware of, so how much can the other person take on?
But I'm also, what I'm suggesting is that in addition to how much can Steph take on, realize that you're not necessarily being kind to yourself when you think it is the height of confidence and ethics to bear it all. Sometimes it comes from a place of not being sufficiently kind to yourself and realize, you know what, most people don't have my body types and the scars on my body, but that doesn't mean that my dating pattern and my courting habits must be uniquely crafted because my body
because
is atypical.
I mean?
So be kind to yourself.
And to take ownership of I am who I am and who I've chosen to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. 14 minutes before noon, if you're wondering what we're talking about, if you've just tuned in, we're talking about secrets that we keep. What do these do to family dynamics, relationships? Beautiful question from Leo. When is the right time to disclose a secret? And they come in many guises. Can be in relation to infidelity. Can be secrets about illness. It can be about your money situation, about your past. How have you dealt with these? Are you going through one of these at the moment? Do share it with us. Remember the WhatsApp voice note. You can send us on 072-702-1702 or call us directly and speak to Stephanie, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
702 and Cape Talk.
Family Matters.
Talent, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, how are you?
We are good, thank you, sir.
I'm fine. My secret is, last year my wife got pregnant and she gave birth. And then afterwards, you know, there's that waiting period whereby you shouldn't be engaging in any sexual intercourse. So at some point, I cheated on my wife during that period and the lady gave birth 3 days ago. So I've got another son, so I don't know. How am I going to deal with this issue? Because it's been eating me from inside for some time now. And I don't know what to do.
So, Talent, that eating away from you, inside you, what do you think will actually appease that?
I'm not quite sure, ma'am. I wanted to tell you the whole incident, but now a lot is just at stake if I have to come out in the open. But I know it's something that I have to do. I just don't know how will I be able to manage it.
Okay. So do you think you want to have the conversation with your wife, just the two of you, or do you need to, do you feel it would be easier with somebody else facilitating the conversation?
I've thought of it somehow, maybe to involve my pastor at some point, but I haven't told my pastor yet.
Okay.
Of what happened. But now I just need advice on how should I go about it.
Well, do you think your pastor will assist you to have an equal conversation, or do you think the pastor will make it more difficult?
I'm not quite sure, ma'am. I haven't thought of it, but I'm just weighing my option of what to way forward.
Talent, can I ask a question here from the Peanut Gallery? I think Stephanie is being very nice to you. I'm not going to judge you. I think life is complicated. I like messy people. You sound like you're very talented. But here's the thing, though, right? You've got to own up to the choices you make. That's not the same thing as being hard on yourself or living the full life, the examined life. Why don't you just tell her, what is your worst fear if you had to sit her down this evening? What is your worst fear?
I'm afraid of how she's going to react at some point. You know.
And what's the worst that could happen?
Maybe she'll end things with me at some point. Maybe she won't be allowed to see the son that we have. That's the thing that I fear of it.
Yeah, but is the truth better now and that you can work with it, or that the longer you wait to tell her the truth, the longer the lie has been lived? And so
it snowballs.
Yeah. And are you going to support the child that you've had with the second, with this other woman? Because legally you have responsibility for that child as well.
Yes, it's something that I have to do. But at some point, I said, me and my wife, we share almost everything. So I'm just afraid now if she sees that there's money that is, that I'm not accounting for, when they start asking questions at some point.
And so the lies will increase in number and in volume. And so the sooner that you are able to sit down with your wife and tell her the truth, difficult truths are easier to live with than lies. And so if you're in time, you will be wanting to teach your children, I hope, that it is better to tell a difficult truth, like I broke the toy or I broke mummy's cup, than to say, no, the dog did it or Gogo did it. So we need to model the behavior we want our children to have. And that means that we have to be big people and pull up our big socks and tell the truth. From the bedrock of truth, you will be able to live your life honestly and openly and responsibly, both for your wife and your child and the one that you have out of wedlock.
All the best, Talent. Very difficult choices, but yeah, I think Stephanie's spot on. We're all going to make mistakes, things that we regret, but I think you'll be judged more by how you handle it than the fact that you made a mistake. Sipho, good morning and welcome to the show. Hello, Sipho.
Hello.
Hi there, welcome. Go ahead.
Hello.
We are good, thank you, Sipho.
My secret is about my sexuality. I've been living a lie for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now the family thing now, because now I'm older, I think I'm 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And now the pressure of having a wife and stuff, so I haven't told them the truth. So I'm living a lie. And that secret is killing me so much.
So what is the lie, what is the truth you want to tell, Sipho?
I just want to, like, you know, because there's so much burden on my shoulders. Like, I wish I can just be free and tell them the truth that I'm not what they think I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that that perfect son that they think I am. You know? And I am staying with my partner, but they think he's my friend, and... Yeah.
And so what would it mean for you to tell them your truth?
I think I would be relieved and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I can't run away from the... from this... Because I want to be... Because when I meet my partner in front of them, it's like we have to lie and pretend we are... friends and stuff. So I would like to be open and be free. And now I'm scared of if I were to do that, and what will happen.
What is your fear? What about what might happen?
Rejection, I think. I'm so scared because my partner is willing to come across. He's already told his family about it. But I at times I do want to tell, but when it comes close on telling them, I just pull back.
Such a difficult one, Sipho. I don't take my, you know, advice literally. I can just, I don't know, give you some word of advice. I assume that you're in a same-sex relationship. There are very few people who I know who are struggling to come out as straight. you know the thing about the closet is that the oxygen is going to choke you anyway. And so the status quo is not working for your health. It's probably not working for your mental health. That's in part why you are calling into a radio show. What I have found is that no two cases are the same. I am not as harsh as I used to be as an open gay man years ago on people who don't disclose to their families, because some people value family deeply, and I didn't when I came out. I do now. So no two situations are the same. But what I've also seen quite interestingly is how often many of my gay friends have made the worst assumptions about their families, because actually they weren't ready to accept themselves as gay, even though they claimed they were, and then they pretended that their families weren't ready. But it was actually self-stigma, self-shame, internalized homophobia, and then you assume the worst about your family. And then when many have disclosed to their families, some have been rejected, but many have also found families almost reacting disappointingly and saying, "Duh, I've always known, man. Of course you and Eusebius have been lovers. Do you think you were fooling us?" So you just don't know how they will play out. And it's interesting how sometimes we make the worst assumptions about our family.
No, I hear you. I always listen to you. So yeah, no, I know.
And the other thing, Sipho, is whether gay or straight, you are always your parents' son. That will never change.
And it may be a long journey for them, but I think it's the exception. If they genuinely love you, which parents do, they will wrestle with the issue. And I'm not saying there aren't tough cases. That's why I'm saying no two cases are the same. You know your family. I don't know your family. But what I do know is that very often gay people think that their family can't handle it, but it's really self-shame that they project onto their families. So maybe just reflect on that. I don't know what the answer is. Final thoughts, Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, it's a tough call, but I really go with what you've been saying, Eusebius, regarding the fact that Sipho's anxiety about telling is potentially much more about his anxiety about coming out and sharing that truth. And a difficult truth, I really stand and have lived through the sharing of a difficult truth is much easier to accept than living a lie.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for some hard truths.